cover some things, make sure you guys knew who I am and where I'm from, because your church supports us, and I know some of you don't even know where Forward Bible Camp is, where we serve, so I wanted to share just who we are, where we're from. Georgetown is our area of ministry, and my family, we serve at Forward Bible Camp and in the surrounding schools. Right now, we have a weekly Bible study at the local public high school, and I want to share a little about that later, but that is a very interesting ministry. High school is a godless place, and every week I'm there, I think I'm glad I'm here for these students, even when it's hard, but I'm also glad my kids are homeschooled. It is very, very hard to be there and to see just the level of godlessness, the level of anti-Christian, and the lies that are being taught there at that school. So I want to share about that a little bit later. Forward Bible Camp is an hour and 15 minutes from here. So you go down to Placerville and back up the other side. We're right above Georgetown. If you know where Georgetown is, we're the last address in Georgetown, and then it becomes Quintet. So we're right at the end there. So Georgetown's out there, you know, and we're 11 miles of windy road up from there. So we're out there. We get a lot of snow. We're at 4,000 feet elevation, and a lot compared to, you know, lower elevations. I was just at a camp conference, and our maintenance guy, who's new this year, him and his wife sold their house, bought a trailer, and moved up to camp. And we're at this conference table, we're talking, and they said, "Do you guys get a lot of snow?" And I'm like, "Well, not a lot, you know." And he goes, "Yeah, tons of snow." And I said, "Well, perspective, like the guy across the tables, his camp is Zephyr Point up at Tahoe. Like, they get a lot more snow, you know." So perspective-wise, there's a lot. We came home a Sunday a couple weeks ago, and there was a berm 5 feet tall. And I'm like, "How do I even get in?" Like, so I had to trek through the snow, you know, it's up, you know, to my thighs, and trek through to get the tractor, and plowed till dark just to get the car into the driveway. So, yeah, that's where we're at. Our camp is an in-faith camp. Our camp isn't like a lot of camps. Most camps pay their staff. Our camp is all volunteers and missionaries. And the goal is to get kids to camp affordably. So you guys do a campership scholarship. And there's several churches that do that. There's also a lot of kids that come to camp that are on our camp scholarship. We have a program as well. We want to make sure as many kids can get to Bible camp as possible. We know that it's a place that lives are changed, and we want to see that kids can afford to get there. So we don't have that overhead of staffing. Churches like your guys' support our staff, our full-time staff, myself and Mitch and Tammy. Mitch and Tammy have been at the camp 17 years now, and he's still there. He's still working hard. Mitch is our executive director. I tend to be the one that go out to churches a little more often than he does. He's on property helping get things ready to building things. Right now they're doing a remodel. They're almost done with my house. They remodeled the bathroom. There was some mold issues and such. And then Mitch is working hard on getting a nurse's station going. Our nurse's station is shared with our candy store right now, for those that have been to camp. And so we've got the nurse's station on one half of the building, and then a doorway, and then the candy store. And that didn't ever seem like a problem to me, but last year, Mitch, we had a student that had the flu and couldn't be with the other campers, so of course they were staying in the candy store, and that seemed like an odd thing and something we should remedy as soon as possible. So Mitch is working hard at getting that going. We have a unique situation at camp where it's been really easy to build things over the last couple of years because of the way camps are under different planning department or whatever. And recently, we found out somehow the camp got classified as a residential property. So pray that changes smoothly. When you deal with government, local government, whatever, it can get, you know, it can be a hassle pretty quick. So that's one prayer request. We have 40 acres, or just under 40 acres. The camp's been there in Georgetown as a Bible camp since 1934. So it's been there a long time, and I'm still kind of amazed how many different people here, where we're at, even close to us, that don't know it's there, because it's been there so long. But We are a smaller camp, so I guess that makes some sense. But 1934, it was started by missionaries. Missionaries that wanted to work with kids throughout the year and then have a place that they could bring those kids and share Jesus with them. And so it was started by, well, it was American Sunday School Union, and then that became American Missionary Fellowship, and now we're In Faith, which is a U.S.-based mission organization. All their missionaries, a couple hundred missionaries, are just in the U.S. They don't have foreign missionaries. It's a U.S.-based mission organization. And right now they have, last I heard, there was 42 camps. 21 have a facility like ours where our missionaries, a large part of what we do is keep up that facility and work on improving it for the future camps. And then 21 that rent a facility like ours and run a camp for, you know, 1 to 3 weeks a summer. So that's a little bit on our mission. Every year we have a different theme. And before we dig into the theme, because that's where we're going to jump into God's word, I want to pray. So let's pray, and that'd be great. God, I thank you that I could be here this morning at Pioneer Bible Church, God. I thank you for their years of backing Forward Bible Camp and the ministries there, and I pray that today that some people would catch a vision for camp, some people would decide to pray for us regularly, and that everyone here would find a place that they could serve here at church, in Awana, or at camp, God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our theme this year is living water. I'm going to play a video at the end, but our theme is living water. And we want to look at this, the woman at the well. So let's go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. And while you're turning, I want to talk about need. This last Wednesday, I talked with the Awana Clubbers about needs, the things that we think we need, right? Maybe in your family, you've heard some things your kids need or your grandkids need, right? Things that, I have to have this. And often it's not a need, right? What are some things you've heard that kids, grandkids, maybe your spouse said they needed recently? Video games. I heard video games over here. Yeah, I've heard that. Cell phone. Yeah, that's not happening in my family, but they ask regularly. Yeah. anything else? What's that?
A sword.
A sword? Maybe. Yeah, my kids haven't asked for that. That's, yeah. Sure. Clothes, yeah. Sometimes the actual needs, right? Or things that are actual needs, but aren't at that moment.
A car,
yeah, right? There was a kid at Awana the other night that said he was asking his parents for a car. So, like, that's a need, but, like, not when you're 10. Or my kids water every night at bedtime, right? They're dying of thirst right at bedtime. Good the rest of the day, but dying of thirst at bedtime. Water's a need, but not right there at bedtime. Bathroom. Connor, he's not here with me this morning because he's sick. But he's, how old is he now? He's 4. I knew. He's 4, and he got up to go to the bathroom, like, several times last night. Bathroom's a need, but, like, 6 times after you tuck him in is not. So we've got these needs. And adults, we have things we think we need, too, right? I know there's things I've asked my wife for that I know I don't really need, right? A new mountain bike. Or maybe you're wanting a different house or a different car. Or I've got 4 kids, so noise-canceling headphones, right? Different needs. So we're going to look at John chapter 4. Let's start in verse 7. John 4:7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. This woman has a need, an actual need. She's there because she needs something that we all need. She needs water, something we can't live without, something we need daily, something she had to go and get daily. Something that we don't realize how much we need until we're in church and the guy just keeps talking and you're like, man, my mouth's getting dry, and it's drier the more he talks about water, right? And he just keeps talking about water and you're just, sorry, yeah. So it's something we need. I mentioned our house is being remodeled, and when it was under remodel, they had to shut the water off for a couple weeks. And you really realize, because my wife homeschools our kids, So she's got all the homeschool stuff there, but then we also had to live down at the Harmony House, which is, I don't know, probably 400 yards away. It's not that far, but it's a hassle to live between the two, right? And you can't live at a house with no water because you can't do dishes, you can't use the bathroom, you can't cook, you can't clean. So we had to kind of live between the two. And we don't realize how important this water is till we go without. So Jesus is there, and he said to her, verse 7, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus says back to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water again." Here, the woman, they're talking about water, physical water, and Jesus switches it around and goes to something different. He goes to a spiritual water. He starts talking about a relationship with him that we can have, that this woman at this well can have, and she's still stuck on the physical water. She's like, "Yeah, give me this water. I don't got to come to this well every day." They're there in the middle of the day. They're there at noon. Most people would go in the morning. This woman isn't there in the middle of the morning. She's there later. We're going to find out why in a little bit. But here we are at a different time of day, and Jesus is offering a water that sounds like she won't have to come back to this well again, and she's thinking, "Hey, give me that water, the water they don't got to come back here." When I read this passage to my daughter, I read it to all my kids, but my daughter said, she's 6. Yeah, I got that right. No one's here to check it, so I don't know why I'm so... Anyway... So she's 6 and she goes, she still doesn't get it, right? From a child, right? She still doesn't get it. She's still thinking about this physical water, that she wouldn't have to come here every day, that she could have freedom from her life the way it is, having to come here and talk to these people. Now, God comes into the situation, talking to this woman, and he provides things that we don't understand, things that are outside of what we expect him to bring to the table. She comes here expecting to find regular water, and he talks about this relationship that she can have with him. Jesus comes out, and he brings us things that, like I said, we don't understand. I was at a conference, a camp conference, and I'm studying for the summer, which includes studying this passage, and I found a neat website that was talking about this woman at the well, and I was like, "Oh, I got to bookmark this, save it for later." They're about to start their Bible session. So I put my phone down, session starts, we worship, we sing, and up comes the pastor that was speaking at this conference. And he shares a story about how he was in Bethlehem, he was showing people from his church a tour of the Holy Land, of the surrounding areas. And he said that he was out one night looking for Wi-Fi. His internet's kind of important these days, right? So he's going to go to this hookah bar that has free Wi-Fi around the corner. And on the way, he sees these 3 Palestinian soldiers. And he thinks, "God's telling me to talk to these guys." And he's like, "Oh, that sounds dangerous, right? I just need Wi-Fi. Like, got to get going." And he goes, "You know what? I'm going to do it." So he walks up to them. They speak English. He's talking to them. And he finds out that they live in this UN campground that there's like 35,000 people living in a 1.2 square mile area. It's just a lot of people, wall to wall. Maybe you've seen pictures or seen video of it on the internet and stuff. Anyway, so he finds out they live there, and he was going to take his people on a tour of that area the next day. And he goes, "Hey, would you guys mind giving us a tour of you know, where you live, the area there?" And they said, "Yeah, that'd be great." So he meets up with them the next day and his group, and they show him around, and he goes, "Hey, have you guys seen this church that's on the outside of this? This church that's just right outside the encampment, there's this famous old church. Have you been there?" And they said, no, we haven't been there. And so he takes them in there, and it's the place of this well. The place of this well that's in this passage. And it's now, it's under the building. The building's been built over the top of it. And it still has fresh water to this day. And he says it's just incredibly fresh. Tastes so good. So he's talking to these guys, and he asks them, in life, what do you want most? And there was two of the three. Two guys were there, and they said, peace. We want peace. And he proceeded to tell them about the peace that Jesus offers here to this woman at the well and to them today, and led these two guys to Jesus. I was like, wow, here I am, like, thinking about this passage, and to me, this was God telling me, this is the direction to go for camp. This is a need that we have. We need a relationship with Jesus like we need water. And it's amazing to see how God, like, pulls themes together, where he'll give us an idea, and then all of a sudden there's different things, like that, like this pastor. A guy I'd never heard of, but is a pastor at, like, one of the biggest churches in the U.S. Like, I didn't know him, but now I know of him, and God totally used that. Over the years, it's been like that, where we'll have an idea for a theme, and God starts to pull it together, and then my wife will be invited to a women's Bible study with the same name. And then we'll get a Good News Club curriculum or something, and it's the same name. It's just amazing how over and over God works in our lives, and if we're looking for him working in our lives, we notice it. Which is why I started prayer journaling, and I would encourage you guys to do the same. When I'm writing down prayer requests, I remember them later. I've got an app for that. Our pastor recommended an app called Echo, and so I use that one. And I write down the prayer requests. When I get a new prayer request, I put it in my phone. And then at night when I'm praying with my kids, so that we go through some different people in our lives that need prayer, I give them a prayer request each night. And so I encourage you to go through and prayer journal, because then you'll start to notice the ways that God's answering prayer and not forget about those things. Because I know I forget, so I'm assuming that some of you would forget as well. So this woman, she's at the well, and Jesus is offering her everlasting or living water. My brain, you could pray for me right now. I'm a little fuzzy. My family's been fighting this cold, and I'm losing. And I've got to fly Wednesday. I have a conference. It's the only time it's available. I have to not only go, I have to pass and get a certification for zipline to run zipline at camp this summer. So it's important that I'm well enough to fly. It's important that I pass, because if we don't, there's going to be hundreds of upset kids. So pray for that. So peace. Jesus, verse 16, says to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." Now let's stop here. They're having a conversation, and they're talking, and the conversation is going back and forth really well. And Jesus says, "Go get your husband and bring him back here." And the conversation is short and to the point, "I have no husband." Because this woman, Jesus, is calling her out in a way that's not in her face, but he wants her to think about the sins in her life. He wants to bring her around to this idea of this relationship with him. And when confronted with our own sin, often we'd rather talk about other things. And Jesus says to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five husbands, and the one you're now with is not your husband. What you've said is true." The woman said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." She's starting to come around that he's more than just this average guy talking about this living water. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Now, this is a trigger sentence, right? This is in their day, the Jews they believed different from the Samaritans, and they fought about which mountain was the right mountain to worship on. So rather than talk about her sin and the things in her life, she would rather talk about even religion. And I say even religion because if you've talked to people before, you know religion's one of the last things people really want to talk about, right? And this woman would rather talk about something that she could argue with a rabbi on than her own sin. It's a unique interaction. I think it's really neat to see Jesus' responses to her, even though they're not like the way we would normally say things. For instance, when he says, go call your husband and come here, he knows her situation, because when she says, I have no husband, he says, you're right, I know this. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. He says, it's not about which mountain. It's about Jesus. He's the one that we can have this relationship with. Salvation is from the Jews. He's from the Jews. It says, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. We need to pray that these distractions, that they go away. This woman wants to distract the conversation with other things. And Jesus says, I'm coming and talking to you. I want this relationship with you. And Jesus wants a relationship with each of us. And he wants a relationship with the kids of this world. And our camp, Forward Bible Camp, I say ours, back up a little. I don't own Forward Bible Camp. I don't know if that was not clear, but when I said that I'm a missionary there, I do not own Forward Bible Camp. I'm just a missionary there. However, I have taken ownership of the camp because I care about the camp, just like some of you care about this church and have taken ownership on that. So anyway, Jesus wants this relationship with kids. He wants them to know him. And so we want to see kids come to camp. We want to see them pointed to this living water. We have a culture that struggles to communicate effectively. They struggle to look at God's word as truth. John 4:27 says this, just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? Now, I think this is interesting because they had a question of, why is Jesus talking to this woman? Like, this isn't normal for teachers of this day to do. Why is he talking to this woman? But they actually hold back. They don't say anything. They wait to see how things are going to happen, which that's not traditional, like, disciple actions, right? They're often, they say things they shouldn't. They're arguing about who should be the greatest and things like that. We often, as we go through the New Testament, we often have examples of them opening their mouth before they think, as opposed to this, where they're actually thinking about what they're saying. Our culture has the internet, where nobody really thinks about what they're saying, right? The kids that are growing up right now have incredibly powerful devices in their pocket that are extremely dangerous. And camp, one of the things that makes camp amazing is that there's no cell coverage. There's no Wi-Fi available for the kids, right? And the kids are like, oh man, no Wi-Fi. And some of the kids actually, I had one camper that had withdrawal-like symptoms. I'm not joking. I'm serious. A camper that could not stay and was shaking and panicking, and he had to have the internet. And it's getting, that kind of thing is getting worse. And so a place like camp, where kids can go away for several days up to a week, depending on their age, and get away from all that and get into God's word and see examples lived out, is a powerful tool. And I think it's increasingly one of the things that makes camp a great place. Although it's really hard to work with no internet. At the conference I was at, the camp conference, there was a girl there that led a session. She works with Wheaton College on stats on camp staff. And she said that we live in a culture that values statistical analysis, things that can be quantified, not just saying lives are changed at camp, but having stats to back it up. And so they've been looking at basic needs in life, for business, for communication, things like oral communication, teamwork, social competence, leadership, self-direction, self-management, critical thinking, creativity, and ethics. And they've found tests on those things, and they give them to camp staff before the summer and then camp staff after the summer without them knowing exactly what's going on. They're blind tests. And then they measure the difference. And there's growth in every one of those areas. among camp staff. This girl said, not only is camp a good place for our young people to serve, it's possibly the best place for our young people to serve. Now, there was one thing in her stats, and I share this because, well, I'm into stats and stuff, and I find it interesting. So hopefully a few of you will not be like, my wife, her eyes gloss over and not interested in that at all. So hopefully a couple of you find this interesting. But she said that there was one thing that made the line more level. Like in every area, it was a giant growth, right, throughout the summer. One area that brought that down to be more of a flat line, the more time per week that people spent using smart devices for non-camp related things. So if they were, you know, if as a staff they had access to use the, you know, to use the internet and things for, you know, videos on YouTube and things like that, then it brought that down. That curve was brought drastically down. Now, my sermon isn't anti-technology. That's not the goal today. The goal today, though, is that you guys would see the need for camp, and that it's good for not only the campers that are coming, but the staff, and a good place for you guys to come and grow while you serve. Also, technology can be bad, but I'm using it right now. This is a good thing. Now, camp, some things that we do have at camp. Every day, there's a couple hours of direct Bible teaching. We have two chapels a day, as well as after the chapels, there's a cabin talk time where the kids do a breakout session and talk as a smaller group about what they learned. There's worship, there's Bible memorization, which is super important. For those of you involved in the Awana ministry here, Awana's amazing. I love Awana. My kids are in Awana. And the reason I love Awana is that kids are memorizing God's word. And that's an awesome thing. I read a stat on Awana's website a couple years ago that said it was like 90% of kids that go to Awana 4 more years stay in the church as adults, compared to very small numbers that stay in the church normally. So Awana is a very powerful tool as well. But a lot of that is that memorizing God's word, right? Digging into God's word for themselves. Verses like James 1:19 and Proverbs 17:28 teach us that we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. I think the internet has brought out something difficult in that it's so easy to respond quickly, right? And people often say things that they shouldn't on there. I've seen people spoke about evilly, as well as, you know, people. Well, just recently, I saw someone threaten one of you online. a friend of mine here. So, yeah. Anyway, we got to be slow to speak and quick to listen as believers. Jesus says, "The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This spring is a natural thing. You don't have to do anything. It comes out naturally. If you've got this relationship with Jesus, it'll come out naturally. When you're talking to people, it'll just come up naturally. We want to be witnesses. We want this to come up naturally. I've got a couple people that I'm witnessing to. And I want to share with you guys just a couple lives that I've had the opportunity to see God work in. And I mentioned the high school Bible study was difficult, but it's extremely difficult. It's every week I go, I wonder, is this the last week we're going to get to do this? Because, well, one, it's odd that we do it. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen. I've got some students that come every week that are very confrontational. And on one hand, I'm glad they're there. On the other hand, it makes it extremely difficult, extremely stressful to have that constant barrage of negativity when I'm there. And then to know that the students are in that as well daily makes my heart break just to think of those students. I have one student who came to camp for years, and she's always been a tomboy. And her peers, and I don't know who else in her life, but I know her peers, are trying to tell her that she's a boy and that she should go by a boy name and that she should use he instead of she. This breaks my heart. I hate to see it. And Mitch and I, because Mitch helps in the Bible study as well, and we've talked at length about, you know, how can we witness to this young girl? You know, when we are referring to a student and we say she about her, and some of the other students correct us with he, you use the wrong pronoun. And she's never corrected us, but the other students are correcting us. And so this worldly influence that goes as far as you're not the gender that God created you, you're something else, and it's just a lie that's being taught on a regular basis. So pray for those students. Pray that they would be able to see truth. Like I said, I've got several students struggling with some of those types of things that come weekly. So pray for them, please. Pray for Mitch and I to have wisdom to know what to say in different situations. To know how much truth to share at a given time, you know? Because there's a line of sharing truth, but also, you know, not having the opportunity to come back next week and share with her. So pray for us. It's difficult. We do share with the students, especially as they ask questions over the years. They've asked difficult questions, and we have answered with truth, knowing that it is better to speak truth and not get to come back than to change truth and twist it like the world around them is doing. Another student that we get to work with, his mom left. His mom left, and he's one of actually several students who we've had whose moms have just randomly left. And this one student, his mom left, and he's a Christian kid, but not very happy. There's not a lot of joy in his life. And he goes to youth group weekly. He actually goes to youth group with Vic Cordova, for those of you that know Vic. And Vic told me, he said, I love seeing him go to camp because he's a completely different person. He said he doesn't have a lot of joy. He's got all these negative things. And when he's at camp, he's constantly smiling and wanting to serve. He's the kind of kid that comes up anytime camp is open. Anytime we need helpers, anytime there's a group on the property, this kid is there. And camp is his refuge. Camp is a place where he can go and serve and not think about those negative things that are going on in his life. So pray for those staff that are coming. We have at this point 4 summer missionaries. I want to talk a little about the different ways that you can serve. Our summer missionaries are people who serve all summer, but only, like I said, we have 4. I expect we might get a couple more, but most of our volunteers do not serve a full summer. Most of our volunteers come up for a week or two. And some areas that we need help in. We need kitchen helpers. I mentioned Brian and Norma selling their house and moving up to camp. Norma is our chef. She's our cook. She's a caterer by trade, but she needs people to help serve with her. People that love cooking and also love children, because there's also tends to be young teenagers that help in there with the cutting vegetables up and things like that and the washing dishes. And so if you love Jesus, you love kids, and you love cooking, think about coming up for a week. You know, you could help point a kid the proper way to cut, or, you know, you can help just take things out of the oven. You could help wash those dishes. If you love kids, if you love cooking, please join us for a week or two. Maintenance and crew leaders. Our guys that do maintenance in the summer also tend to work with a group of junior hires and high schoolers that help clean bathrooms. If you come up and you're good at working on a particular thing, maybe you're good at welding. I know right now our tractor needs some repair that's welding on the rear boom on our backhoe. So if you're good at maintenance, if you're good at fixing things, there's always things broken anytime there's kids on the property. So come up and help fix things for a week or two. You'd be working with Brian, and we definitely need helpers there. Maybe you're a nurse or a retired nurse or studying to be a doctor. Sorry, that was really pointed at Jamin. come up to camp. Come up to camp and serve as a nurse for a week or two. We need nurses, people who can mainly put Band-Aids on. It's a lot of Band-Aids. Cabin leaders. My biggest need every summer is cabin leaders because I really need about 20 every week. And I'm looking for both young people, like the guys in the front row, as well as some a decade or two older than those guys that can come alongside them and be a senior cabin leader. So we're definitely looking for lots and lots of cabin leaders. Cabin leaders work with kids directly. It's the most direct with kids ministry on the property. Because it's directly with kids, it's the most tiring. I'll be honest, it's the most tiring. But it's also the most rewarding. I'm in camp ministry now because of a summer I spent cabin leading. I was very tired by the end of the summer. I lost 30 pounds that summer. I could use cabin leading again. But it was life-changing. It was an amazing experience that has me still in that ministry today. Oh, I mentioned Mitch has been at the camp 17 years. I've been there a dozen years. My wife and I started together. She was there before me, but we started together in 2006. And then our summer missionaries. If you're interested in coming for a whole summer and trying a little bit of everything, we've had summer missionaries of all ages, and we would love to have you. Doug Collier has been one of our summer missionaries, really. I mean, he didn't go by that title. He did a little bit of everything, and we're missing him like I know so many of you are. He's coming up to serve with us 2 weeks at the end of the summer this year, but since he's so far away, he won't be able to do the whole summer, and we're going to miss him. He was a huge part of camp ministry, just like I know he's a huge part of your church. But summer missionaries, I want to talk about one summer missionary named Daniel. And he has a desire to serve youth. He is one of those students whose mom left as well. And at one point, she had custody. His parents divorced. And then his mom had custody. And she got into meth. And she wasn't taking care of the kids. And Daniel, as junior and senior in high school, was taking care of his younger siblings in a way that no junior and senior in high school should ever have to. And he was taking care of them, and he would go to school, and he would get two meals and not eat either of them so that he could take them home and take care of his siblings. And through all of this, the youth pastor at our church and his wife were reaching out to him and were connecting with him. And they got taken out of that situation. And he wanted to graduate from the school that he'd gone to all his high school. And he ended up living with our youth pastor. And that connection, that bond grew. And he now wants to go into full-time youth ministry. And he wants to serve the youth that are struggling with things as well as the youth that are thriving. And he wants to be there for youth like Nick was there for him. And he went to camp when he was younger. Camp isn't the main area of influence in his life, but it had an impact. And he's actually at the end of the video here. He's one of the people we interviewed for this staff interview video. But he wants to go serve youth. And so this summer, he's serving all summer with us. And then after that, he's going to Multnomah Bible College, Multnomah University in Oregon. And with the goal of getting to be a youth pastor down the road. So please pray for him. Pray for our summer missionaries. I've got a couple prayer requests for my family and all, but pray for those summer missionaries. Pray for him. Also, you guys support us. Thank you for your support. We couldn't be at Ford Bible Camp if it wasn't for supporting churches like Pioneer. So thank you so much. And I know Mitch feels the same. He wanted me to say thank you. Consider giving to our summer missionary fund. I've got some amazing summer missionaries that still have expenses, that are serving with us instead of a job, but they need some of them need some funds. So if you would consider giving to our summer missions, that would be great as well. I hope that's not a problem. I added that in. But we know that your church has supported summer missionaries from here before. And I know Daniel's an amazing asset. This guy, you'll see in just a couple seconds he's on the video, he's funny. He's fun. The kids love him. And I'm so thrilled to have him on my team. And I'm hoping that he gets that support that he needs to be there. Okay, so for us, prayer requests. You could write a couple of these down if you have a pen. Pray for my health. I struggle with gout, and sometimes it's a real struggle. And it makes camp ministry extremely difficult if I have flare-ups in the summer. And they tend to be stress-related, so I do get flare-ups in the summer. Pray for our traveling. This time of year, we do a lot of traveling. This trip that's coming up to Chicago is abnormal. I don't normally have that, but normally we have a lot of traveling within our area. So pray for us as we travel. Pray for our numbers of staff to increase. We need more staff. We have, I talked to Norma, our cook, and she said that she was like, I'm going to this church, and we're talking about getting campers there. And I said, hold up, I need more staff, or I'm going to have to turn campers away, because I didn't have enough staff last year. So we need more staff. Pray for our staff, please. It's actually a problem in all of camping. I was talking to some other camp leaders, and finding good staff, even the camps that are paying their staff, they're struggling to find them. So you can imagine how hard it is for us who aren't offering any financial reimbursement to our staff. Pray for the summer missionaries, and just pray for my family. I was telling Pastor Eggert that this time of year, from now into the summer, Satan knows that one of the biggest things in my life, the biggest distraction, is if my wife and I are having an argument about something. And so as things get busy and I'm less and less there, he starts to pull at that. Satan knows that that's where I'm going to be distracted, is if there's relational problems with my wife and I and kids and I. So please pray for that. Camp's very time intensive. I will probably only have a day or two off between mid-May and the beginning of August. So it gets very lack of family time there. So anyway, pray for that. And I want to show you guys this video. It's on the desktop. I put it, it's not that one, I'm sorry. It's the, it should say like staff. Oh, that was it? Okay. Yeah, that's it. Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
This is a family that very quickly adopts you. They take you in and make you a part of the family. One of the things I would say is that many of the young people who are part of Camp Forward, they're in touch with you during the year as well. So it's not just what happens here at camp, but it's what happens. And again, I think this goes back to the family atmosphere that the camp is so good at producing. It's like they're talking to their uncle or someone like that rather than the camp director or pastor or counselor. You come to serve, but you end up being incredibly strengthened and encouraged and refreshed, no matter what your role is.
So when I was a cavalier at junior high boys, I had two campers that were polar opposites in their personalities, and it was rough. And on the last night, Pastor Dan had a message on, you know, the gospel and what it means to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And both of them rose their hand and made me realize why I keep coming back.
It's a good investment. It's an investment in an eternal thing. So, I mean, that's the big thing for us, is just knowing that the investment is something that is going to last forever. So, even though I grew up in the church, camp was the first place that I realized that Christ really had something in mind for my life. Ways in which he wanted me to serve. I needed to own my faith in him.
For the kids in church, they get to practice their faith without their parents there, without their family. It does become their own. And then some of these kids have never heard the gospel, and so they're hearing that for the first time.
It's more intimate than many other camps. You'll get to know the people you're here with, the volunteers and the campers. You'll get to know them, or at least quite a few of them. I would also say that another way in which Forward Bible Camp is unique is the potential for you to serve here in some capacity. That potential is really high at Forward Bible Camp. As much as you can use your gifts and your talents and are willing to be helpful with those and serve others with them, you can be used here. So that's unique as well.
Usually I'm working with the crew. We do the support role. But I just feel like the mission of the camp is something I strongly believe in. And if I can be a support to help kids hear the gospel and hear the implications of the gospel, that's greatly worth it to me. It's a great place to work. I love working under Mitch, and I feel well appreciated. We're all volunteers here, and I work alongside of a lot of wonderful people that way.
Wait, is my hair good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I came when I was like a little kid in fourth grade, and I always wanted to be a volunteer. So then once I hit high school, I started volunteering at fall camp mainly. This is actually my first summer here, but would volunteer at fall camp and do whatever I could to help out. The main thing that draws me back is kind of just being an influence in the kids' lives that are here. I know a couple of kids that go to my church where they went home and their parents came to TJ and were talking about how much they enjoyed camp and talked about all the verses that they memorized. And one of them memorized every single verse for the whole week, and they were so excited to share every sermon and everything that was said that impacted them. At my church, we have a saying that happiness is made here and shipped to places like Disneyland and Six Flags.
So many ways for us to serve and so many ways for us to support our missionaries. TJ, thanks for coming and sharing and just giving us a great kind of a perspective of all of Camp Forward. And just keep praying. Praying is a big part of our ministry for Camp Forward and all these kids that are there. It's interesting, they highlighted a lot of the leaders in this video, but there are a few hundred campers that are there during the summer. So be praying for all of those. Worship team, would you come on up? And we're going to close with singing a song of worship to the Lord. And we would just like to offer to pray for you. And so kind of at the end of the song, if you're interested in just coming and having one of us pray with you about needs in your life, healing in your life, relationship issues in your life, we believe that God is in the process of doing spiritual work. It might not be that you're responding to TJ's message about ministry and so on. It may be that God is stirring in your heart in another way, and you would like someone to pray with you, someone to stand with you, someone to come alongside. And so toward the end of the song, if you want to come, and there's three or four people that would like to be here and pray with you. So let's stand together, and Kate, would you lead us?
Yeah.
And feel free to still come up. I did want to remind you, I think, Jay, next week is the third Sunday in April. Next week we have a potluck after the worship service and then a prayer time after that. So come prepared next week. Bring some food to share. And youth group next Sunday night. Perfect. Thank you very much, Katie. Let me pray. God, thank you for the privilege for us to be here. God, we pray your blessing on TJ. He asked for these specific things. And God, we pray that you would give him health, that you would bless his marriage. God, that you would touch the lives of those who are working there and the campers that are coming. God, we pray for that whole ministry. Lord, if you're touching someone's heart, help them feel free to come up and ask for prayer. God, we commit our lives to you to walk with you. Thanks that you are the God who saves us, who gives us freedom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.